evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the only qualified wrestling program airing in my living room at this moment. And our panel tonight is from Columbus, Ohio. Her main interests are slapping people who disrespect the original ECW, admiring her Uncle Paul to death, and planning a death threat to Randy Orton. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Hayman.
Good evening, Mr. Seidelman. You know me all too well.
Mm-hmm. And, ladies and gentlemen, we also have here our favorite friend from Cholula, Washington, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Duke.
Hey, everybody.
And we have another caller in here to start the show. Caller, who are you?
Hey, what's up? It's Tyler.
Tyler Brown, ladies and gentlemen, give him a hand.
Just make sure you reattach it, please.
All right.
So, onward, upward, to the door, down and to the left.
Yes. As we all know, actually, I want to start out with something different. Normally, we'd start off talking about wrestling, but there's something personal I want to talk about. If you guys want to call in 646-716-9678, we also have the chat room open for everybody to peruse and type in messages and whatnot. Give us some insight on what your opinions are.
And if you're looking for me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to all call Insight Communications and tell them they're morons.
Insight Communications, morons. They're not allowed at the Palace of Wisdom whatsoever. Ironically, Michael PSA's is.
They took away my internet. They took away my view of the Shaman of Sexy and every last one of his abs. But that is not what we are here to discuss.
Not to start off, though, no. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been viewing over the ratings and the people who've been listening to the show, and it turns out they haven't been that good. Ever since, I have to think, late March, when, after the WrestleMania show, people just stopped tuning in. Trista left, and the ratings haven't been that good. So, I'm going to lay it on the line for you. I'm hoping for this and the next two shows to get either 10 live listeners at least, or 50 listening through the archive. If I don't get either one of those for the next three shows, then May 2nd will be the last edition of the North American Wrestling Connection. It'll go off the air. I just feel like it's a big waste only to be doing a show and having nobody listen. It's just not worth it. And as we remember from last week's show, we had D2 come on the show, and he basically ran down the show, ran down the people, and to start his own show. Well, he has something to say about that via a pre-recorded message, and I'd like to play that for you all right now.
Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, fans, and friends, and others. I come to you tonight not as the character D2 that I have portrayed over the past several weeks, but as the man Dustin Davidson that I am. Last week on the show I made several comments that many have deemed went too far. I want to take this time to apologize for those comments, and hopefully offer some insight onto why those comments were made. When I first came onto the North American Wrestling Connection, it was as a part of an angle. I was going to come in as an outsider claiming to save the show and increase ratings, only to raise hell and later split off and form my own show. And in a way, that's what it still is. In my mind, the comments that I made last week were a continuation of that angle. In my mind, those comments made me out to be the heel, which is what I was trying for. However, those comments went too far. I let emotion get in the way of was doing what was right, and I got carried away. I was completely unprepared and distracted, thus not allowing me to deliver the performance I would have liked. Nobody, I repeat, nobody, knew what was going to be said. Neither Trista Timpson, my co-host for DTA Radio, nor Robert Seidelman, the host of the North American Wrestling Connection, or Nikki Heyman, a complete and total badass. All that anybody knew was that I was planning on leaving the show, and even the people that knew about that were very slim. The reason I didn't clear what I said with anybody is because, as an angle, I wanted this to seem as legitimate as possible. And in order to do that, I had to get a real reaction rather than a fabricated one. I wanted my shoot comments to come off as just that. In reality, it was a worked shoot, a word that seems to get thrown around a lot today. I want to apologize to both Trista Timpson and Robert Seidelman for the comments that I made last week. If anything, I should have at least cleared it with them on the extent that I was planning on taking my performance. Again, I apologize for the severity of my comments last week. If anything, I would actually like to thank Robert Seidelman, because without his original show, I wouldn't have even had the idea to do one of my own. I do, however, stand by my statement that I will no longer be on the North American Wrestling Connection any longer. The show is tremendous as it is with both Robert and Nikki in control. This statement you hear right now will be the last time you hear my voice on the North American Wrestling Connection. Thank you.
And there you have it, the last edition of D2 being on this show. Dustin, thank you for being on the show, and maybe you'll come back, who knows. Anyways, let's try to get back on track. You know the number 646-716-9678. Give us a call, and tonight we have a decent lineup for you tonight. I'm not going to sugarcoat it like what Jim Rohn does, or overhype it like what Tony Schiavone does, or be a complete toolbox like what Michael Cole is. Tonight we're going to start off with a continuing storyline that we have between Batista and Shawn Michaels. Now, the storyline is this. Batista is pissed off at Shawn Michaels because he retired Ric Flair, and Batista wants revenge in the name of his friend Ric Flair and mentor. A match is slated for Backlash. So, how do you see this all working out? Nikki, let's start with you.
I find it interesting that I had given this whole angle some thought, and 10 years ago I would have told you that Shawn Michaels would be the straight-up heel. This would be the, I retired Ric Flair, I should be feeling bad about it, Batista, sue me. But this is a Shawn Michaels that we know is, I believe the term is born again. He's a very devout Christian. He has a family now. He's actually calmed down a bit and has justified his position that Flair handpicked him for this duty. Batista is coming across as a heel now because he's essentially being a crybaby saying, you should have jobbed to Flair. And Shawn said that's not what Flair wanted. And Batista is eventually going to utterly lose his temper, and I think we're going to have quite the fun match at Backlash.
It should be a pretty decent match for my second. However, Shawn Michaels has been known to carry quite a few people to a very decent match. What do you say, Andy Duke?
I think it'll be interesting if Batista is the heel in this feud, like, the actual real heel, because when you look back at most of his feuds within the past two or so years, even when he's been face, he's really been acting like a heel. When you go back and look at his feud with the Great Khali, he ruined his like celebration ceremony out of nowhere. He randomly asked for title shots when he's lost time and time again. So I'll be glad if Batista actually becomes a heel instead of being a heel in face's clothing, so to speak.
So like the wolf in sheep's clothing kind of deal?
Yeah.
I understand that. We got a comment on the forums from PEC2105. I say that I want either HBK or Batista to be full-blown heel. That would make for a great story. Yes, let's face it, the tweener stuff has been done to death between both of them. Somebody needs to be the face. Somebody needs to be the heel. However, with the way the Ric Flair thing is going down, I think it would be easier to make Batista the face and Shawn Michaels the heel. That's just how I feel about it. How about you, Tyler?
We'll see when I saw that backstage segment where Batista just kind of stared Shawn down. I thought it was going to be the opposite way around. That Shawn was going to be the heel. Oh, I did it, you know. My pride got in the way, but I couldn't, you know, just do it, you know, and go down and whatever. And it just turned out opposite of what my thinking was, but I think it's going to make for a more entertaining match. Plus, it'll be nice to see a different side of Batista. They've already been hinting at it. But they're just going to, like, rip the whole cover off of the whole hemp thing and just let it full-blown be a good match.
Yeah, it should be a really good match, and I seem a little preoccupied. I'm just setting up for what we got going on later on. This is what I get for not being prepared, ladies and gentlemen. I was busy eating dinner. I just got finished about 2 minutes beforehand.
Hey, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I quickly add in an interesting tidbit I ran across while I was surfing the web this week?
Sure.
Now, of course, everyone knows Kali is just a huge monster, and not only with his size and his weight, but apparently, which it's probably not too... too much of a hidden secret, but his monster size, just as like with Big Show or probably with Kane or some of the other bigger guys in WWE, that it requires a lot of food to keep him going that way. Well, the Indo-Asian News Service has reported that for Kali to keep his monster size, he requires a strict dietary regimen, which would make the average home's grocery bill times about 20. This is, keep in mind, this is on a daily basis. This is what they say he needs to keep himself going. And keep in mind the word daily, not weekly, not monthly, daily. Includes 1 gallon of milk, 5 chickens, 2 dozen eggs, juice, and fruit daily.
Wow.
That's 2 weeks groceries for me.
Yeah. Think about 2 weeks groceries every day, 365 a year.
I couldn't. Not on my job, I couldn't.
Yeah. So basically, he's having to use his weekly paychecks, most of what he makes, to buy groceries. That's crazy. Considering what they make, it's crazy.
Speaking of groceries,
you got to do it right, Nikki.
What's that?
In the WrestleCrap fashion.
Speaking of groceries.
And speaking of groceries,
close enough.
It seems that there are way too many groceries in the direction of Big Daddy V.
Uh-oh.
According, per PW Headlines, Big Daddy V has been sent home to go fix his man boobs and drop a little off the middle.
Hmm. Now, see, why are they just now doing this? I guess they thought it would be funny for the first few weeks, and then just, I guess they realized, well, maybe, you know, ginormous man boobs is not the way to go for a character.
They just want him to drop weight and get some cardio back under him, but I don't know if they have treadmills that big.
Yeah. Well, not only that, just imagine the size. I mean, like, I think WWE's t-shirts only go up to 3X. I mean, to get a t-shirt on Big Daddy V, you'd need, like, at least a 5 or 6X.
I've made my joke about Omar the Tent Maker, but...
Yeah. Oh, by the way, another quick note. I'm sorry. Don't mean to do this, Rob. Don't mean to take over your show. But it was another thing I just remembered. WWE Shop, if you're ever looking for T-shirts, and you don't want to pay $25 a one, look under the clearance section, and they have a lot of really decent T-shirts, $9.95. And so I went ahead and picked up, what was it, a Ken Kennedy one, his Talk Loud T-shirt, and then the new Hardy's animation shirt, and then as well as an ECW ball cap.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll have more on insane deals later on in the show. I just
West is not allowed. Go on.
No Jim McTen talking here. WWE had some debuts this week.
Ooh.
Hey.
Sadly, Raw had none. Tell Surprise.
Ooh.
However, on ECW, we had the debut of Chavo's insurance policy in the vein of, I won't call this in the vein of Mr. Hughes, as people have been calling, but in the vein of Big Bubba Rogers is what I'm going to call this one. Justin the Ox LaRoche made his debut, just completely obliterating Kane. The scenario was in, let me get the back up. The scenario was there was a contract signing. Chavo made a few statements. Music played. Justin the Ox LaRoche came out in a full suit. In a full bodyguard suit, not unlike Big Bubba Rogers back in the past. And the Edgeheads, Chavo, and the Ox just brutalized them.
It wasn't pretty. I got a couple of laughs from fans that I know who refer to LaRoche as the Amish lawyer who came out and beat down Kane with help of the clones and Chavo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to see that he did make it to television. I heavily recruited him out of Ohio Valley.
Well, you got your big payoff.
That I did, and I'm going to send him a note about him wearing an unemployed T-shirt the last time I saw him.
Sadly, no one else for ECW, but on SmackDown, Natty Neidhart got the call.
And it was quite the debut.
Yes. Beating up a couple of babyface Evas. Her new best friend, Natalya Neidhart, is what they're going to call her. Natalya Neidhart. Wouldn't it be better if we had Natasha? They would have called her Natasha?
It's still about the same region of the planet, and just to fill all this to fill this out a little bit more for you, Mr. Seidelman, when Victoria introduced her to the crowd, she says, "Does anybody recognize that last name?" And they played Anvil footage to remind us.
Woot. It's on my DVR right now.
So please, watch and enjoy. You will be quite pleased with the way they have presented her.
Hopefully they just don't bring back the whole Who gimmick, because they'll have Natty backstage and she'll be like, "Don't you remember my father?" And then some guy will be like, "Who?" And it'll just be all that over again, and that would not be...
They could say Who, and that could be like a breaking point word, and Natalya just goes all medieval on their asses.
That could actually work.
I would watch that.
Natalya Neidhart was working in, I believe, FCW at the time when she got called up.
She's already done a little bit of traveling. I had seen her work SmackDown ECW last Thanksgiving-ish.
Which is always good.
And she had pink in her hair, and I want her to drop by Raw and beat the pink out of Ashley Massaro's hair.
And Justin the Ox LaRoche is going by Bam Neely, which is a riff on Boston Bruins enforcer Cam Neely. And Peck says, WWE Creative is at it again because Kenny Dykstra worked so well.
I want to know who the sports fan is on the writing staff. I've got a few people I'd like to stick on him.
So, does anyone think there's going to be any other call-ups anytime soon?
There was a pseudo call-up at WrestleMania, and I'm hoping that his work disguised as a member of the posse might actually get him on camera in the near future, and that's Charles Hammer Evans.
You're also forgetting a very important one. Mr. Colt Cabana had a sighting at WrestleMania. He was a member of Melina's paparazzi.
Yeah, and Colt Cabana, CM Punk, he was one of John Cena's gangster members at WrestleMania in Chicago, and we all know how that worked out for him, worked out pretty well, so who knows.
My fingers are also crossed for Matt Sydal.
Matt Sydal would work on SmackDown, though.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Cabana, Sydal, and Sean Spears all called up sometime within the next few months. That would work out pretty well.
Oh, that would work out really well.
Mm. Now, there's been a hint to Cabana's debut just out of WWE Magazine. It's a kind of a throwaway feature that they have in there called What's in Your Bag? And they opened CM Punk's bag, and they found a Cabanarama headband.
Whee!
And he mentions it kind of matter-of-factly. It belongs to a buddy of mine. Doesn't mention any names. Doesn't have to. And I'm sorry that Ace Steel is gone, or we have some Second City Saints action.
I'd still just all be down for a CM Punk Colt Cabana tag team.
And just call them the Second City Saints.
Exactly.
I'll buy it.
Just play off their old ROH chemistry with CM Punk being the straight, play it by the book, no nonsense guy, and Colt Cabana laugh a minute, blowing party blowers in CM Punk's face type action.
I would watch it over and over again.
And, well, last week we had a debut in Vladimir Kozlov, who was hyped back in 2006.
Does he still love WWE?
They won't give him a microphone. They finally figured that part out. But then they also took away his entrance, his entire entrance. He comes out to nothing.
Just the Russian flag.
No, not even that. They turned all the lights out. They put a spotlight on him. Not even music. It's creepy.
Maybe they're trying to, like, give him the old Andre the Giant vibe with, like, no music or anything like that. I don't know.
That's a shame because he had a beautiful entrance video for a heat match he did back at the beginning of March when I saw him in Indianapolis. I've got a wonderful picture of that video, and I should post it somewhere so people can take a look at it. Because I have a feeling they threw it away.
And by the way, we have a catchphrase for Miss Neidhart.
Yes, she...
When you mess with the best, you go down with the rest. Yeah, baby! Tug on, what'd she tug on? She doesn't have a beard. What'd she tug on?
Her hair.
All right, that works.
Someone made a somewhat inappropriate joke.
Don't read that on the air.
Ah, man. Perfect.
Don't read that on the air because if it's our redneck prank caller, I want him out of the chat room now.
Anyways. We had a match on SmackDown tonight. Sorry to spoil it for you, Andy.
Nah, it's cool.
In a match between Matt Hardy and Chuck Palumbo, MVP had something very candid to say.
Yeah, shut up, coach.
No, better.
Better?
MVP said that Cole JBL was one of the best announcing teams of all time while JBL carried that team. But Cole Coach was the worst team of all time.
And he shut Coach down every time he spoke up.
I think MVP has a future in this business. As soon as he's done in the ring, we can pop him in commentary.
I'd love him as a color commentator. I'd love him as the big money manager, too.
That would be beautiful.
Well, something similar like somebody on Floyd Mayweather's posse?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the big money, big bling, smooth-talking manager who's got more money than sense. That describes Mayweather.
Also on the SmackDown, we had Vicky and Edge with a romantic interlude thing, and we'll just move on from there.
Oh, come on. Those were funny. Those
okay.
were hilarious.
Okay, one. All right. Vicky and Edge were receiving a couple smooth shots as Theodore Arlong stands off to the side holding towels.
Okay, so what is Theodore Long even doing nowadays? Is he just like now the personal assistant now that Vicky's taken over or what?
Yeah.
He's listed as assistant manager and addresses and clarifies himself as the assistant manager as per the last segment of their day off.
Ah.
I feel so bad for Teddy, but it makes for great comedy.
Yeah.
I hope one of these days Teddy just swats Vicky with a chair.
Well, I mean, let's think about it like this. He started off, wasn't he a referee in WCW before he came to WWE or something?
He might have been. I know he's reffed. I know he's managed. He's been around. He's a very experienced man, and he's the one I want back in charge, but.
I mean,
as long as Edge has Vicky on his side.
Right. Well, all things considered, I mean, he's getting a lot more airtime than he used to as a referee. I mean, obviously.
Sure.
Because nobody... Theodore Long?
Mm-hmm. Peanut, always.
Because it's...
I gotta shut up now.
You also got to remember that he was manager for the Skyscrapers.
Hmm.
He managed Ron Simmons for a little bit, and well, he managed all those jobbers, so that doesn't count.
Right.
Or are you talking his stint as Malcolm Y with Rodney Mack?
No. Oh, but that was awful.
That's why I call it Malcolm Y.
Rodney Mack was awful entirely. And helping Jazz made things worse.
Well, that's not the Jazz with the pants in that couple.
Well, pants and then something else, but anyways.
Hey! It wasn't too bad when
it was a family show.
It wasn't too bad when it was D'Lo Brown, but D'Lo Brown left after about 3 weeks, so then they replaced him with Rodney Mack, and that's never a good replacement.
No.
And then they tried to throw a couple other people in there. In fact, Rosie was under Teddy Long for a couple of weeks.
Remember when he was on the lot, not Rosie, but Long, and he was managing Mark Jindrak with his Lex Luger ripoff gimmick? The
yes,
the Reflection of Perfection?
Yeah.
He went from being like some black militant, like, I hate white people, to managing like the whitest person on the roster.
Oh, the irony, daily.
Wow.
Nice going there, Andy.
But it's true.
This guy has a show, too. Andy Duke's Party Line. You've earned some time to whore that one, so go ahead.
Well, I did my second show Wednesday. You can listen to it on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio. Just search Andy Duke. You'll find it. Not exactly sure when my next show is going to be, but I'll try and keep you all filled in on that. So, about it.
And we will look forward to that. And quickly, Vicky Guerrero and Edge were getting facials and matching pedicures as Theodore all along stands guard. And finally, Vicky Guerrero and Edge in bed with whipped cream and strawberries until Theodore all along adapted, stating being forced to watch this was way beyond the call of duty for an assistant general manager. I think with all that said, Edge is just a big exhibitionist.
Exhibitionist, my foot. They did everything under the covers.
So what? Does this mean that him and Kelly are going to start feuding now or something over who's the biggest exhibitionist?
I will take it from Kelly as a couple just to see who can wear less.
Oh,
wait,
by the
I'm
way,
the gal on the show anymore.
I think Andy Duke's got a permanent spot on the show now.
Actually, the better thing is it's not that Edge is a huge exhibitionist. Edge is an industrial strength, grade A U.S. choice doofus.
Actually, it's Canadian choice.
He lives in Tampa.
He's an import.
The best of them all. Anyways.
True.
Onward.
Yes. First thing tonight, we had the Great Khali set up a traditional Indian ceremony to make a peace offering towards the Big Show. The Great Khali gave gifts to Big Show, including authentic Ganja River water, a bottle of scotch, a chicken, and a goat.
So wait a minute, he gave up his lunch for the day?
Only part of it.
Yeah, well, sure.
He still had about two chickens, a goat, and a whole 2 liter of scotch left to go.
Well, the Ganja
River Big Show shook hands
with
the Great Khali. Shook hands with the Great Khali, but viciously knocked Khali out with one punch. This is setting up for Khali's going to be heading back home soon. There's some
really?
Stuff that he needs. Yeah, there's some stuff that he needs to take care of at home, and that's what's going to happen.
Yay! Khali off my TV.
Well, the crazy thing is not to say it's a real big shocker. I mean, a lot of WWE stars are married, but for Khali to be married, I mean. There's no woman that tall, so it's got to be very awkward. Their first dance had to have been, like, really awkward. She had to get a stepladder.
Right.
The cake had to be thrown at Khali from about 5 feet away. You know, anyways. Fun for the whole family.
Right.
Yeah.
Back to wrestling.
Okay, is everybody ready?
Four.
It's time! Four.
Oh.
Lockdown predictions. And here's how this works, ladies and gentlemen. Every time you pick a match correctly, you get a point. The most points wins the game and gets control of the belt. As per the last week's rules, I won the belt. And we shall begin. Andy, Tyler, Nikki. Best of luck to you, and if you want to call in and make predictions, the number is 646-716-9678. Call in and make those predictions, and you too can have a shot at the NAWC World Fizzleweight Championship Belt. Formerly held by such greats as El Cartographer,
yes.
The Jack 'em Up Kid, Gary the Legend,
yeah.
And Nikki Haman.
What, Carl from Fresno didn't ever got his hands on it? Okay.
Anyways, let's get started, okay?
Onward.
Let's go.
I'm going from what the TNA website has. Starting at the bottom, Queen of the Cage. We have Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, Salinas, Rock Khan, Tracy Brooks, Christy Hemme, Jacqueline, and Roxy Laveau. Here's how the scoring points work for this one. There's going to be two matches where we have this. Yes, DJ, get on! We're going to hold this out for a second as DJ comes on the air.
DJ, don't text me, just call.
He's got to find his phone. Okay, so here's how this works. I'll start off, we go to Nikki, then we go to Andy, then we go to Tyler, and then DJ when he comes on, okay?
Go.
Alrighty.
Okay, and here's how the scoring system works for this match. A half a point if the person you pick is one of the entrants in the cage. 1 point if you if the person you pick wins the cage, okay?
Alright.
That's how the scoring system works. I am going to go with... I'm going to go with Rex Laveau on this one because this will set up an Angelina Velvet Sky versus Rex Laveau feud. And I think this is the match to start off with to actually boost that feud. This is the match to start out with. I'm picking Rex Laveau to win it. And we go to Nikki.
All right. I'm pretty much agreeing with you on this one. Roxy is going to be one of the ones in the cage. She fought Angelina Love on the last Impact. So I'm gonna put Velvet Sky in there with her on this one if she's going to end up having to deal with both of them. But Roxy still pulls it out.
Okay, you have not for Roxy. We go to Andy Duke.
I'm just going to, since I haven't watched TNA in over a year, I'm going to throw out a random name, and the coolest name out there is Rocka Khan. So I'm going with Rocka Khan.
Blind predictions, you got to love them. Now somebody's even blinder with the predictions, Tyler Brown.
Indeed. So let me just get something straight. Jacqueline was the former WWE Women's Champion, Jacqueline?
Yeah.
That's a different Jacqueline. Okay, well, just for fun, because I know she's not going to win, but I've got a little bit of faith in her. Jacqueline.
Okay, that works for me, and when DJ calls in, we'll get his prediction for that match, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll go to Cuffed in the Cage. Now, here's what I don't get. They're having gimmick matches inside of gimmick matches. I guess it's to keep stuff fresh.
I guess.
Kind of like what you have in
it.
At least there's no arm wrestling this year.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
There's still time.
The lineup is set and it's ready to go, so there will be no altercations to it, I think. Actually, we now have DJ on the line. How you doing, DJ?
What's up, everybody?
About time.
Doing fine. Hey, I think it's probably just conserving minutes. Is that right?
That is true.
All right, so that's why.
You're on your free weekend, man. Go.
I probably do, but oh well. I'm on the family plan.
Oh. DJ, we need your prediction for Queen of the Cage.
We'll go with Miss Brooks just for the simple fact that I think she's going to make a return as an active wrestler, so I think she'll go over here.
Okay. Now we have Cuffed in the Cage. We have LAX, the Guns, the Infection, the Freaks, Black Relic of Rain, Eric Young and Kaz. And we have the Sadomasochists and Scott Steiner and Petey Williams. Everybody's got a tag team name. Actually, that pulls up to around close to seven tag teams in TNA right now, which is pretty good. Who do you got winning? I am picking Steiner and Petey to win this one because they're going in with the momentum. And since momentum in TNA means almost everything, they'll be the ones taking this match since Petey just got indoctorated, and we'll talk more about that later on. We go to Nikki.
Much as I like Big Papa Pump and Little Petey Pump, I was so excited to see that Petey has finally been accepted. I was horrified when he got his hair cut. I'm gonna go with another hot tag team, unfortunately, much as I love Petey and Scotty. I'm going with LAX. Right now, they are red hot. They've got a good shot of walking out of this with the win, since we've already seen Petey and Scotty playing with cuffs, and we've already seen Super Eric play with cuffs. That's too easy. My money's on LAX.
And we go to Andy Duke.
I've got to stick with my favorite team out of them, and I've got to go with the Motor City Machine Guns.
And we go to Tyler Brown.
I'm kind of with Andy on this one. Motor City Machine Guns all the way.
Yeah.
DJ.
This is one of the toughest ones to pick because there's so many ones that you could be justified in picking. But I'm going to go with Super EY and Kaz just because Super EY is like the newest gimmick out of all of them. So I think they'll give them a subtle push here. So we'll see.
I think you might be right on that one. Women's tag team match. Awesome Kong and Raisha Saeed, who let's just call her by her real name, cheerleader Melissa, versus Gail Kim and ODB. I'm going to go with Kim and ODB. Raisha Saeed takes the fall in this match. Kong then gets furious as all hell and just literally beats up Raisha Saeed after the match, which leads up to a fatal four-way at Slammiversary, with a sacrifice match being a throwaway. And we go to Nikki Hayman.
Actually, that sounds like the scenario we're seeing. Gail Kim and ODB have promised to play nice and work together, and being the faces, that's exactly what they're going to do. There is no way Kong is getting pinned. It's going to be Saeed, and then Kong kills everybody. She might even accidentally get a shot in on Saeed.
I think it'll be intentionally on Saeed, though. And we go to Andy Duke.
I've got to pick Gail Kim and ODB also.
Tyler Brown?
I'm in the minority. I'm saying Kong and Saeed. And just simply because of just her power. I mean, you know, Gail Kim and ODB, they're okay. I like them too, but... If it, like I said, in a match like this where it comes down to Kim and ODB versus Saeed and Kong, something tells me ODB is going to get hit with the awesome bomb. I hate that somebody needs to rename that because I'm sure Mikey Whipwreck's and Roland is great, but that's beside the point. Kong.
That's Mike Awesome, dude.
Anyways, my apologies. Anyways, Awesome Kong takes out ODB and then it starts this huge like post-match feud. And then Awesome Kong becomes the only one standing post-match.
DJ.
I'm in agreement with you, Robert. I think if Awesome Kong and Saeed win, you hurt two of the strongest women wrestlers on the roster. But if ODB and Gail Kim win, it really doesn't hurt anybody because Kong is Kong and she's not going to be pinned. And Saeed is relatively new. So I'll go with ODB and Gail Kim.
Okay. Former Partners Collide. This one's going to be a one word or one name or less. BG or Kip? For me, I'll start with BG. Nikki?
BG.
Andy?
BG.
Tyler?
Kip.
And DJ?
BG.
Simple as that.
Because you don't want to waste any time on this match either.
Nope. Just proof that we gave it all 15 seconds to talk about it.
Onward.
Yes. Mixed tag team match. Booker T and Sharmell versus Robert Roode and Peyton Banks. Now, Peyton Banks was originally advertised for the Queen of the Cage match. However, that would mean she would have pulled double duty, which is not good for her. Who do you got winning this match? Me, honestly, it's the blow-off to the feud. I see Booker T and Sharmell winning this thing. Simple as that. And we go to Nikki.
It would probably have to be Booker T and Sharmell. Now that she's back from injury, this would be the final payback. Let's get this wrapped up. Let's give Roode something else to do. Let's give Booker something else to do.
And we go to Andy Duke.
Yeah, I've got to give the Duke to Booker Man and Sharmell.
Go to Tyler Brown.
Booker, Sharmell.
DJ.
Booker, so that maybe his warm-up run with TNA is ended and he can finally be elevated to the main event picture. Booker T.
I think that's what's going to happen, and I think he probably gets in that King of the Mountain match.
Agreed.
Now we have the X Division Championship Escape match. Black Machismo versus Curryman versus Guru versus Divine versus Shark Boy versus the newest member of the TNA roster, Consequences Creed, or Creed. With arms wide open. Oh, good lord, I'm starting to see Creed.
Can you take me higher?
Creed's a lot
Thank
better
you.
When they're called Metalingus.
On this day, anyway, on.
I am going to pick, okay, now, same scoring system applies for the Queen of the Cage match. Half point if your pick is the last two, 1 point if your person wins. I am going to pick, I see Black Machismo retaining. At least. Nikki?
Now, we've got to get this feud going. Sanjay Dutt.
Andy Duke.
I'm going with Consequences. Don't call me Apollo Creed.
Woohoo! And Tyler Brown.
Sanjay Dutt, keep the feud. Keep that feud going.
And DJ.
To be safe, I'm going to go with the Guru. That way it'll give me at least half a point. But I'm going to be risky in saying that he wins and takes the X Division belt, setting up the feud.
Well, if your pick at least makes into the final two, it's a half point anyway, so.
Right.
And the way things are shaping up, it seems like the only person not to get points would probably be Andy Duke, but that's
yeah.
His cross to bear. Lethal Lockdown time. Team Tomko versus Team Cage. Team Tomko consists of Tomko, Styles, Team 3D, and James Storm. While Team Cage consists of Cage, Sting, Nash, Rhino. And a picture of Matt Morgan is on the TNA website that looks like he's passing a big, gigantic stone. On that face alone, I'm picking Team Cage. Nikki?
I'd really, really like to see it be Team Tomko, but if this is the last match of the night, I don't think it's going to happen.
It will not be the last match of the night. It will not be.
It will not be?
It will not.
In that case, I'm gonna throw in with Team Tomko. Tomko needs to win more than anybody on Team Cage does.
Andy Duke?
Okay, so Team Cage on a pay-per-view with all cage matches? Coincidence? Probably. I'm going with Team Cage.
Tyler Brown.
I like all the superstars, but something tells me I'm seeing something with Styles or something with Tomko playing a huge part in that team's win, so something tells me Team Tomko.
And DJ.
I'm going to go with Team Cage only for the fact that Matt Morgan is now an American Gladiator, and they're probably going to want to play up him as a wrestler, so maybe he does something to influence the outcome of the match, and I'm going to go with Team Cage here.
A little note here that just got handed to me via Faxtrola. Matt Morgan backed out of American Gladiators.
Ooh.
What?
That might be, that's going to change my pick then.
You want to change your pick?
I'm going to reverse.
Okay, you're going to go to Team Tomko.
To Team Tomko, yes.
Okay. Now it's time for the main event, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe. Joe loses, he's done. In one word or less, we're going to do the main event that way. I will say
Joe. Nikki?
Joe.
Andy.
Samoa.
He knows the game. And Tyler.
Joe.
DJ.
Joe.
All right. And that's the way it works. And those are our TNA lockdown predictions. Whoever has the most points wins and gets the belt. And in the case of a tie, the champion from the previous week keeps the belt. Okay?
Works.
Sounds good.
Okay. And now, this is kind of interesting. I was scoping through the WrestleCrap forums, and they mentioned one of Don West's crazy deals. Insane daily deals. I remember, Tyler, you bought one of those insane deals, didn't you?
Yes, a while back. Yes, it was some sort of combo of the Raven, Best of Raven and the Best of AJ, I think it was, or something like that, in some big
mm-hmm.
package deal.
But listen to this. This is for $100. For $100, you get, listen to this, Against All Odds 2005, Bound for Glory 2005, Destination X 2005, Final Resolution 2005, Genesis 2005, Turning Point 2005, The Best of Christian Cage, Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles Volume 2, Hellbound Heaven Sent, The Best of Christopher Daniels, Doomsday, The Best of Abyss, Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Unstoppable, The Best of Samoa Joe, Knockouts, The Ladies of TNA Wrestling, Best of the TNA Tag Teams, and The Best of the X Division Volumes 1 and 2. And that is all for $100.
You forgot a couple more.
Huh?
There's still more.
There's still more?
Yes. Doomsday, Best of Abyss, Best of AJ Styles Volume 2, and Best of the... Okay.
Yeah, he said those.
Okay.
That's 15 TNA DVDs for $100, which is nearly 50 hours of TNA footage.
I am surprised that Sean has not called me and asked me why I'm not buying it.
I only have three words that can describe that.
What's that?
Those three words are Gemin 10.
Oh,
can't buy the
Oh no.
Oh, come on. You can't
I thought
buy
we were not
going to
go through a show of Gemin 10.
Vinny Pancakes the size of silver dollars. Random
fail.
Random cheat seats reference for those of you who don't know. Don West was on a show. Very awesome.
Judge, what do we say about a random cheat seats reference? Play the sound? Okay.
That's more
like it. Cheap seats reference are always okay on our show. But this is a really good collection of DVDs. I mean, the big five of pay-per-views, stands for Lockdown. And Slammiversary, I heard AJ Styles Volume 2 was a really good one. Samoa Joe was a pretty good one. And you can't go wrong with the X Division ones or the tag team ones. Never heard anything bad about the Best of Abyss one. Christopher Daniels, I heard, was iffy at best, but
yeah,
all
the
all,
Daniels one is the Daniels one is clipped pretty bad from what I've heard. So
if I had the $100, I would buy it.
I'd give it some consideration. I'm kind of having an out-of-money experience right now.
Nice one. What say you, DJ, about these DVDs?
Well, if this were around the horn and it was buy or sell time, I would not be buying. simply because I know it's a great deal, but I don't know. I think TNA's pay-per-views have evolved from the 2005 version of their pay-per-views. So, I mean, I like the way they're going now at setting up the matches, so I think the pay-per-views are a lot better. Plus, I bought the TNA Anthology, the Epic set. It came out, let me think here, in the fall of 05, and it includes Victory Road 04, Turning Point 04, and Lockdown 05, and I was kind of disappointed by it. So I didn't want to, you know, pony up that kind of money for something that probably would be along the same lines.
Do you still want them?
What's that?
If you don't want them anymore, I'll gladly take them off your hands.
The TNA Anthology?
Yeah.
We could probably set that up.
Shibby.
That would give you the lockdown that you were missing.
Yeah. I have some 2006 TNA pay-per-views that I burned to DVD when my DVD burner was working. I have Slammiversary 2006. I have Victory Road 2006, and I have Bound for Glory 2006.
And I'm all over.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we are nearing the end of the show, so we do have a WrestleCrap update for you, one of my favorite websites to go to. New induction.
Who?
No, that thing's already inducted. December to Dismember 2006 is officially in the WrestleCrap annals of history.
It took them that long?
Nicely put. Better known as December to Disaster.
We also have, it was just a bad show overall.
Poorly booked, hardly advertised. The audience voiced their displeasure with Change the Channel, Where's My Refund?
Bullshit.
The enormous bullshit chant when they kicked Sabu out of the chamber. And Four Weapons does not an elimination chamber become extreme.
We need barbed wire.
We needed more weapons. We
right.
needed a chain that you could actually carry around. We needed more chairs. We needed fire. We needed barbed wire. We needed cats. We needed
tinfoil standing iron.
Thank you.
Cookie sheets, stop signs, bowling balls in the kitchen sink.
Right. I want to just... somebody actually posted a response to this, an actual live tale from there.
All right.
I just want to make a quick note. The best match of the night was between Stevie Richards and Rene Dupree. They were so close to the ring that he was yelling stuff about Rene having a boner, and Steve was trying so hard to keep it together and to not laugh.
Huh?
They were so close to Ariel's butt floss that it barely covered... butt floss barely covered ass was practically in their faces. Then finally the Sandman comes out of the crowd and does this thing and then just leaves. Did they think, let's throw the mutants a bone here? At this point in the show, I lost track of all things that were designed to say, fuck you for all being ECW fans. And when Paul came out and did his promo before the Elimination Chamber, I knew right then and there it was over, but I didn't want to believe it. It's like you watch a movie or a TV show when you know your favorite character is going to die. Sure enough, in the next 30 minutes, ECW perished before my very eyes. It was like Scarlett O'Hara seeing everybody she loved going to pieces right here in the Mr. Sherman Siege on Atlanta. And with that said, we are out of time for the show. Thank you, Nikki Heyman. Thank you, DJ Tyler Brown, Andy Duke, Robert Simon. Peace, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Love Talk Radio.
Yes.
Huzzah.
Archives.
Welcome to Overtime.
Overtime.
to the North American Wrestling Connection After Hours.
Well, the main reason I wasn't going to leave is because I was able to corroborate what happened to my dear, dear Uncle Paul the following day.
And what would that be?
The fact that he was brought before Vince McMahon, and he essentially wanted to hang this entire pay-per-view around dear Uncle Paul's neck and essentially make him take the fall for it, to which he stood up, looked the man square in the eye, and said, "Mr. McMahon, I was following orders." If that wasn't going to get him fired, nothing would.
It didn't get him fired.
What
they kept him home.
Well,
and they paid him.
Yes, they did. What it was is that he actually had two contracts. He was doing some of the writing, and he had his on-air contract. His on-air contract was gone. And they decided they didn't want him to write anymore, so they sent him home. Now, an interesting little fact. Stephanie McMahon called him near the end of his contract and said, "Would you be willing to at least come back and work with us at OVW? We won't change anything. You will get the same pay. You will get the same benefits. All you have to do is hang out in Louisville and teach these kids the ropes." Which means he would have been paid probably three times as much as he would have been paid if he had just gotten hired off the street to do it. He turned it down. That's how pissed off they made him. That's how frustrated and done he was with the business because of this.
Good point. I want to finish up by saying this is from a Scrap 4 member, Triple Kelly.
All right.
This is what she said the last few sentences, which I'll read. I know I'm being overly dramatic about this, but as a fan of the original ECW who loved it because it was so unique and different and special, it broke my spirit so badly to see how Vince's gargantuan ego couldn't allow for ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling to stand out and be what it is, especially since Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara outright copied it all but made it shitty. That show is a large reason of why I haven't watched any of the shows on television since and only went to the one WWECW SmackDown taping I talked about with you and Blade when I brought a sign with me that said, "Paul E. is my homeboy," that was no-sold by the crowd of 9-year-old WWE and Bortista marks. Her words, not mine. You did
I'm
a great
surprised.
Job on the induction and captured what I and the other paying fans in the audience were thinking and feeling as the show happened in real time. It's only appropriate that two great things, Extreme Championship Wrestling and the Godfather of Soul, James Brown, were both laid to rest in that very arena within weeks of one another.
Ooh. Yikes. Ooh. Wow. To you, Triple Kelly, I send you a barbed wire wrapped rose. It is spared from the barbed wire they have ripped from the ECW logo, now the one that they now display on Tuesday nights, to complete Vince's transformation of what was once a cutting edge television program into the third hour of SmackDown.
I would compare it as, what would I compare it to?
You couldn't compare it to Velocity because people say that the wrestling was better there.
Velocity was pretty rad.
And Heat actually still exists. I don't want to call it worldwide either.
Oh, it's Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yes.
That'll work.
Yep, Shotgun. That's what it should be forever known as. The revival of WWE Shotgun Saturday Night, but it should be called WWE Taser Tuesday Night.
Starring John Morrison's abs. Oh, excuse me.
Yikes.
We need more women on this show.
I wish I could get some people to be on this show. Maybe I'll talk to Blade. Maybe he could come on this show.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
Oh, we can work on that. All right, gentlemen, I've got to scoot because I've got to figure out where the hell Sean is because he owes me money.
Nice.
So, gentlemen, good show tonight. I will be back next week, and next week I will be able to detail my travel plans for my next big wrestling road trip, second week of May.
Whee! Hopefully we're still on the air.
And hopefully I turn 21.
You'll make it. And we'll be here next week. I'm not worried as for the show. Call your friends. Call more fans. We need people to listen to us.
It'll be my 21st birthday, too.
Yay. It's a good show.
Exactly. Let's get some more people on the show so Tyler can afford to buy himself a beer. Oh, wait. Who's turning 21 here?
That would be me.
Okay.
Yes, you were right.
All right. We need more people on the show so we can buy Tyler a beer.
Yay. PayPal the money, too. This is where I get cut off.
So, gentlemen, good fight. Good night.
Indeed.
Thank you, Johnny Gomez.
And I'm Nick of Diamond.
That was known called Steve Austin. And that's the bottom line.
You sound more like Jim Ross.
My God.
This is the American Dream Dusty Rhodes fan. Well, this was a great show. If you will.
It goes in the pay window.
I think it's about time for you to step up to the pay window. It's a lady in the men's bathroom.
I am not. Tony, they're fighting in the ladies' room.
Hold on,
ladies.
Welcome to hour number two of WCW Monday Nitro here on TNT. Tony Schiavone here with Mike today and Bobby the Brain Heenan. And we have for you a fantastic hour of wrestling action with Hollywood Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and many, many more. And now, let's go to the ring and David Penzer.
That's about right.
And the volume was correct, too. That was the exact number of exclamation points.
This is the greatest hour in wrestling history.
This is
like
the greatest hour in the history of...
Oh. Epic fail.
Meanwhile, they were failing in the ratings. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, they were pretty decent ratings in 98.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to get out of here before this gets any sillier.
Indeed.
Get that money.
Money.
All right.
You're
we're
so white. You're so white. Good night, fellas.
Good night.
I'm nerdy to the extreme. I'm whiter than sour cream. I was a V Cub and Glee Cub and even the chess team. Of course, I never thought it was hard. Do I like Kirk or do I like Picard? Spent every weekend at the Renaissance Fair with my name written in my underwear.
Hey, Sigma, speaking of hip hop, did you see the present I left for you on the chat room just now, or a little bit ago?
I accidentally closed it down.
It is a Max Kellerman hip-hop video.
A Max Kellerman hip-hop video?
Yes.
Oh, no.
My hero! I was probably the only fan of the show IMAX.
I loved IMAX and Bill Wolf. They were great together.
Yep. Max Kellerman rap video.
I Anyways, guys, I think I'm going to pop off here myself, but it was a wonderful time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Take it easy, everyone.
Take it easy, Tyler. Have you found it yet?
Max and Sam, Young Man Rumble.
That's probably it.
And the interesting thing about Max and Sam, they were brothers. Oh, God. Max is bald.
Wasn't Sam killed in 2004?
Sam Kellerman was killed by a boxer.
Yes.
This was done a while ago. Rough House Columbia Records.
I don't know. I've always enjoyed Max Kellerman. There needs to be more of him on TV. I think he has a radio show in ESPN in New York, but other than that.
Think about it. This was, hold on, Artie Lang on Miguel Cotto's bandwagon.
Man, Miguel Cotto's good.
There you go. And by the way, from his stint with Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
On his show.
Without question, will be tuned into the pay-per-view Lennon seance, bucket of popcorn at his knee. He is the outsider. ESPN Radio and HBO Boxing host Max Kellerman.
Hocus pocus is hocus pocus, Tucker. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Scientology, these guys, it's all the same to me.
Yeah, it's all the same. Scientology really is the same as Christianity. I think that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
No, we'll debate.
Hear that? Hello?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Hello there. Did you all hear that?
Yes.
Actually, it was so bad, Tyler left.
I know.
By the way, I don't know how many of you are game show fans, but I uploaded some game shows on YouTube.
I am a game show fan.
I uploaded an episode of Sale of the Century from Australia.
That's got to be a rare find.
I got two discs full.
Phew. My sister was supposed to be on a game show one time, but they ran out of time, so to speak.
What show was that?
Okay, do you remember the show? It was on Nickelodeon. It was called Figure It Out.
Oh, she was supposed to be on Figure It Out?
Well, it was like there was an extra segment. It wasn't like the ones where they have like a secret. You know how it's not like the main or something that like the end of the show they asked her to do. We
name that thingy?
Something like that, yeah. But it was, yeah, that's probably what it was. But it was like an add-on to the end of the show, and we were in line for the show itself. This was, I had to be like in middle school at the time. My sister was younger than me. She was like in elementary school. But we were in line, and they just picked her right out of the crowd. And I don't know why her and not me, but anyway. we got inside like early, so we were the only ones like in the audience. They were briefing her on what to do and everything, and she kind of like hung around backstage. And I think the ones on the panel were, I remember two of them. Colin Mochrie from Whose Line was one. One of them.
Awesome.
And Lori Beth Denberg from All That. And those are the only two that I can remember.
Was this, what year was this, 98,
99? Let's see. I was going into it was after my sixth grade year, so 1990, spring of 99. Summer of
spring 99. Of 99. That would be Wild Style.
Maybe that
Which was the death knell of that show for a few reasons. One, no Danny Tamborelli. Because if I remember correctly, he left Nickelodeon. Kevin hardly did the show anymore. He's mainly placing with Steve from Blue's Clues and other celebrities. You know, with the quotes. And I think it got worse with when it had all the people from The Journey of Alan Strange.
Wow. I don't even remember that show. So.
The Journey of Alan Strange, all that, the third cast, which had Mark Saul, Shane Sweet, a couple others, which killed the game. And plus, Nickelodeon started to become the Amanda Network.
Yes, I remember that. She was on everything.
I was just thankful that I discovered something cooler at the time. Reruns of Supermarket Sweep.
That was a great show.
I love that show.
I always wanted to be on that show. Just because for the simple fact that in addition to, like, if you won the big prize at the end, like about how they had the clues for everything, you
mm-hmm.
also, I heard that you got to keep everything that was in your cart.
No. For the old version, yes, but for the version that you remember, you got the cash. Because most of the stuff was props anyways.
Oh, because I remember, like, the old version was awesome. Who was the host of that? His name was David something or other?
David Ruprecht!
Ruprecht, okay. I could never remember his last name, but I know that he was on a few other game shows, but I remember him specifically from Supermarket Sweep.
Hold on, let me, I can find it on YouTube. Supermarket Sweep. There's quite a few episodes of Supermarket Sweep on up on the site.
They could have done a Supermarket Sweep with Booker T and Stone Cold.
I'm watching a clip from the Canadian version of Supermarket Sweep.
Where the supermarket is stocked only with bacon and Labatt Blue.
Yeah, he got all cracked up from the crash. Fun. I have some episodes of Supermarket Sweep in my collection.
Pardon me?
I have some episodes of Supermarket Sweep in my collection.
Very
Remember
nice.
The twin car giveaway?
Vaguely.
By the way, there's one sound that I did not play on this show. You know, want to know what that sound was?
Go
what?
For it.
My dragon.
Yes, the dragon.
You want to know where I got him? It was from a popular game show in the 80s.
No whammies?
Nope. Anybody remember Tic-Tac-Doe?
No, not exactly.
Aww. But Tic-Tac-Doe was fun. I kind of like the 90 version, too.
Hey, earlier, were you guys talking about cheap seats, as in the Sklar show on ESPN Classic?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, in regards to game shows, because I don't know if you guys are sports fans or not, but two of my favorite, like, sports trivia shows are no longer on. One of them I know for sure isn't on, but the other one hasn't had new episodes in a long time. I love Stump the Schwab and 2-Minute Drill. Like, I'm a huge sports fan as well, in addition to wrestling. And those
mm-hmm.
two never seem to be on except for ESPN Classic. And I don't even know if 2-Minute Drill is on there anymore. So do you guys have any insight on that?
2-Minute Drill is no longer on there anymore. Stump the Schwab is there every day from 3 to 4 p.m.
Oh, okay. Only on ESPN Classic, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have 4 episodes from the original series.
Oh, wow.
When the grand prize was to be a researcher at ESPN.
Oh. I wish I was old enough to be a contestant because I totally would have cleaned house.
Who knows? Maybe they might be doing it again. I don't know.
That and Dream Job. Those were Stump the Schwab and Dream Job were the two things I wanted to be on, but I was too young.
By the way, I took a look at our ratings. I don't know how many people listened live. 3. And DJ, you were one of them.
Give it time. It'll go up.
Y'all know what the scary thing was? I'm going to give you some figures here as to why I announced the possible cancellation. Are you ready for this?
Go for it.
Here are the numbers. Last show was 6. This show was 3. Going back to March. The went from 5, 9, 12, 30. 30 on March 7th, went from 30 to 12 to 9 to 5 to 6 to 3.
Maybe it's just attributed to the fact that everything wrestling-wise has like a post-WrestleMania funk. So that could be something that plays into it. But, I mean, I don't know. I know a bunch of people who know a bunch of people who know a bunch of people, so I will spread the word on my end because it really is a good show, and you are
hey,
a good host.
Here's some more numbers from February. 19, 15, 10, and when we did a special show over Raw, 35.
Somehow I don't know how I did this, but for my 15-minute test show, I got 47 listeners. Archive.
47 on archive?
Yeah. And then I went down to... But I still... The highest... I had 8 live for my last show. And 7 archive. I actually have less archive listeners than I do live. I don't know how I did that.
Right. Anyways, those were my figures. I know the most numbers that I had for one show was... Let's see, for a January show, 184 in the archive. We had 123 in the archive, 98 in the archive for the wrestling show.
Wow.
Well, at this rate, we'll never get the show up tonight, so we'll just keep on talking for like another week, so no one will ever get to listen to it in the archive.
All right, maybe we should end this cavalcade of nonsense.
This is like the bonus alternate ending to the show. If this were a DVD, we could sell this for $30 more a month after the first DVD came out.
Right.
And make a fancy cover.
We're sitting on a gold mine
they
here.
They lost the game again.
Ow.
That's what the Detroit Tigers and the Seattle Mariners are all saying.
Seattle Mariners.
Trouble for those two teams. I was actually, a couple weeks ago, WrestleMania weekend, actually, I was in Detroit for the NCAA basketball tournament to watch Davidson and Kansas and all those other teams that were there, too, Villanova and Wisconsin, I believe. And I went to church on Sunday morning, and in the pew right next to me was Jim Leland, which was pretty cool, who's manager of the Tigers. He was staying at our hotel, and evidently somebody up there didn't like him here, or this week he went to two masses on Sunday because they picked up their first victory the other day against the Red Sox. So, little tidbit for you.
Nice. Well, what do you say we end it right here?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll talk more next week, okay?
Okay. Okay.
DJ, you're welcome on the show. Andy, always a pleasure.
For sure.
Actually, DJ, how would you like a permanent spot on the show?
Sounds good to me. I'm up for it.
All right, every Friday at 8 o'clock Pacific time, so that means it's in your family, in your unlimited weekend thing.
Good for me. I think actually I think it's after 7, so I'm probably not wasting any minutes now, which is good.
Hooray. Well, good night to both of you. I will... DJ, you should set it for the WrestleCrat forums.
I have it as a favorite, and I go into, like, the gimmick table when it came from YouTube and stuff like that. So I really should join the forums, because I'm there a lot anyways, so...
Hooray! And tell them Sigma sent you.
Sounds good. You're doing more recruiting tonight than Nikki Haymon.
Well, I try my best. Well, let's call it a night, and I will talk to you guys later.
All right.
Peace out. All right, bye.